But working with Clint here.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily, presented by Mokarum Injury Lawyers.
Mokarum Injury Lawyers, baby. Hard as hell to say, but easy to dial. 281-222-2222. Appreciate everybody out there for listening. If you're watching on YouTube and Twitch, we greatly appreciate you. If you are listening on that AM FM dial, we greatly appreciate you as well. I'd like to ask all of you out there to download the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. We got big time giveaways on there from time to time, like $20,000 in a trip for four to Vegas. We've done that before. Yes, sir, we have. Yes, ma'am, we have. But you can also get all the podcasts. All of our segments are podcasted by the great Tyler Milner back there on a daily basis individually. So you can sift through all the trash you don't want to hear us talk about and find exactly the topic that you want to hear. You can also find the Big Orange Wagon. That is Tyler Milner and Patrick Creighton, their podcast, All Things Astros. You can find that on there as well, along with all the other Odyssey podcasts. So download that Odyssey app. Take us everywhere you go. And keep us right there at your fingertips. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download that sucker and stay plugged in to Sports Radio 610. All right, the Texans, they kicked the season off, y'all. It's time. It's not a reaction Monday. It's a reaction Tuesday. We'd be reacting to college football when it was a hell of a slate. Big time games. And the college football season is off and running. I guess it's been off and running. We had week zero, didn't we, Ryan? This isn't the first week of college football, but damn,
yeah, but it
was
all
good.
Came together, yeah.
But the Texans, the NFL kicks off this coming weekend. Kicks off Thursday night, actually. Yep. The Eagles, Cowboys. That's must see TV. It was must see TV before Eagles, Cowboys, but now with Micah Parsons, you know what happens with the Cowboys with no Micah Parsons. Although reports are that Micah Parsons is dealing with a back issue and may have some issues getting on the field this week for Green Bay. But we'll see. But that's going to kick the season off. And then we got Texans at Rams Sunday at 3:25. A little afternoon kick here. We ain't had many of those, boys, which typically that'll noon.
Yeah, a little late.
Yeah, you can go to church. You can eat a little lunch with the family before you get out there and do a little tailgating and a little hang right there. But Texans-Rams Sunday at 3:25. And here's what we got for the Texans fans that are just starting to plug in, because it is the real season is here. You're not a preseason level fan. You like to pick, nothing wrong with that. You like to tune in and dial in when the regular season starts. Here's what we've got this weekend that we've got to keep our eyes and ears on going out on the West Coast, right? We've got the Rams. And Matthew Stafford, their quarterback, going on year 17 in the league. Getting a little long in the tooth here, boys. He's apparently dealing with some back issues and missed training camp. There were several reports where he was going to come in and start on Saturday, and that Saturday would come and go, and there'd be another week, and he wasn't out there. He is back at practice. Matthew Stafford is practicing. I think he's got about a week under his belt before this week started. He is back. Apparently, he is dealing with a back issue.
Yep.
Kind of similar to what I've heard, kind of similar to what Romo dealt with when Dak actually ended up taking Romo's spot. And this is something that has to be monitored on the daily. And to me, Ron, this is something we've got to keep our eyes and ears on, because the reality of it is Matthew Stafford is the kind of quarterback that he likes to leave the pocket. He likes to hold the football. He's not afraid to really put some pressure on his offensive line. He's not afraid to take a hit and hold the ball as long as he can to drive it down the field. So this isn't a guy that plays the style of football that I'm asking C.J. Stroud to play and Tom Brady played and Peyton Manning played, where it was, man, I'm going to stay upright. I'm going to beat you with my mind. I'm going to stay upright. He gets hit. He gets hit a lot, and he's dealing with this back issue. Here is Sean McVay, the head coach of the L.A. Rams, with an update on Matthew Stafford's back.
Do you expect Matthew to start against the Texans?
I do. Yeah, he'll be good.
Will he participate in the full week of practice?
Yep.
And then did Alaric practice today?
He did. He looked good, and everybody was out there and accounted for. And so I'll have the full injury report for you guys on Wednesday, but expect to be everybody ready to go.
Matthew Stafford did practice. 17 years in the game. I think obviously he knows his body as well as anybody out there, Ron. But with this kind of back issue and that style of play at the quarterback, matched up with these two defensive ends coming off the edge, this could be real advantage Texans here. I mean, look, I'm not saying D'Amico is trying to do this, but I'm saying D'Amico is smart if he would attempt to do this. This is there's an added bonus on the table if you can hit Matthew Stafford in the first quarter of this game. There's an added incentive for D'Amico Ryans to dial up pressures early and often, because if you can get Matthew Stafford, this is a deal that'll limit his rotation, right? He's throwing a football is a rotational skill. It's a rotational ability. If you can get him at all, Ron, feeling this back issue early in this game, then you can take a lot of the air out of the sails of this offense. And I know they're going to be high flying. I know they want to be high flying, but damn it, this is what D'Amico Ryans does, and does as good as anybody in the league, is apply pressure. Matthew Stafford's back could end up being advantage Texans. I almost said advantage Astros. Advantage Texans.
Well, I really want to see, and I'm sure D'Amico and the gang kind of want to see early, because Stafford, anytime he's talked about it, is really kind of downplayed.
Right.
Like, I'm dealing with it like I deal with, you know, any other things that I've dealt with over the years. But Clint, you'll know if it's something that it's on his mind or he's favoring at all. Maybe we do come in here and there's nothing really wrong with him and he feels as close to normal. But maybe if you see it, you hit him early, if that's something he's thinking about or favoring, and now you may have something, because that's one of kind of the unknowns is Clint, how bad is this? How bad is this injury? And if he gets hit right, or is he really avoiding to stay in the pocket? Is he wanting to get out to avoid getting hit, and that changed the way they play or the way he plays?
Well, this is where the Texans defense, look, they're going to be nasty and they're going to be a bear for any quarterback, any opposing quarterback and play caller, no doubt about it. But ideally, like what you would like to do is, if you have a quarterback that's old, long in the tooth, he processes at a high level, he'll see all the different pressures before they happen. You'd like to say, man, I'm going to scheme you up some little quick throws here or there. I'm going to get you some picks. I'm going to get you some easy throw in the ocean type stuff. And Sean McVay will do his damnedest to get that. But my point being is, you're not dealing with just a really good pass rush. You're dealing with guys on the other side of the football that can flat-ass cover, that can disguise, that can cause absolute problems. And so it's not going to be a walk in the park for Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford in the effort to protect him from that back hurting him even more. And look, it gets even better for all of us Texans fans. Worse for Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay and with the Rams, but better for us. Rams left tackle Alaric Jackson is practicing for the first time. He missed all of training camp with blood clots in his lower leg. Now, I don't know the details beyond that, but I know that they're having to closely monitor this thing with doctors. And boy, you start talking about blood clots and then getting out there and skyrocketing your heart rate and playing like that, that could get awfully scary as well. So we don't know exactly what's going to happen with their starting left tackle as far as these blood clots go. Right now, he did practice today, and the plan is for him to practice all week long. Here's Sean McVay on having Alaric Jackson back.
Yeah, it was great. You know, we didn't have pads on, so it was a bonus Monday, but he's taking great care of himself, and he's put himself in a rare position that I do believe to step in and, play at a good clip. So, you know, he's been able to do a lot of stuff above the neck. He's taking great care of himself, tried to simulate a lot of these types of things. There's nothing like actually playing real football, as we all know. But today was a great step in the right direction, and more importantly, it was awesome for him, just with the work that he's put in to be in this position.
Ron, Daniil Hunter, Will Anderson, take your pick. They've been rocking and rolling for a month plus now.
Whew.
Alaric Jackson has been on the shelf, and he's fixing to practice. I'd call it a half-assed practice this week. That's just what the NFL week prep is like. There ain't a lot going on, if you know what I mean. And he's going to step out there with them two cats coming off the edge. Again, this could be advantage Houston in a big, big way. And look, Alaric Jackson's a good player. I'm not studying him. He may be able to just get off the shelf and go hard and be that. Maybe he's that good. But with them two horses that Houston's got coming off the edge, this could be a major problem for Matthew Stafford with the back injury and Sean McVay, the offensive play caller.
Yeah, this is the real potential advantage for the Texans. Real potential advantage. Hell, we watch Cam and Titus and Ursary. We watched them guys struggle, and they was out there every day almost, except for Cam, you know, running up against these guys. And it's not like this is, you know, Lane Johnson or this is Penei Sewell. This isn't one of the premier, you know, tackles. Pro Football Focus, I looked up today, they had him coming into the season as the 19th best tackle in football. Right, not bad.
Right.
The 19th best tackle in football. The 19th best tackle in football with blood clot issues. Hopefully he is good and not getting a lot of work. Maybe not in game shape, game speed. What's he look like in the third quarter? What's he look like in the fourth quarter with these guys rushing? Two of the best in the game. There is no relief. And if you think you're getting a big relief, if Barnett comes behind him, that's not a big relief. So that is a potential real advantage that they may have with him as the left tackle.
Well, you just think about it in the simplest form, Ron, of scheming, right? I mean, you clearly, when you're playing Daniil and Will Anderson, you're going to, game plan wise, you're going to, with the tailback and the tight end, you're going to plan on chipping a lot. Now, all of a sudden, you've got a left tackle out there, to your point. Let's just say he's healthy, but he's just not in game shape after not doing much, right? Now, you even got to give him more attention with either the tailback or the tight end. And now, D'Amico Ryans has all of those pieces in the secondary, all of these pieces at the linebacker position that he can now either choose to play coverage and double receivers, or he can bring and add pressure to put those guys on an island. Those are the two things, Houston, to keep an eye on. What's going on the West Coast right now is Matthew Stafford, the back issues, hit his ass early, make him move, and see if you can't put a little bit of pressure on him.
At least figure out how bad it is.
Much he can handle, right? And then that left tackle, man, can you take advantage of him just not practicing and not being in? There ain't no way in hell he's in game shape. I don't give a damn what he's doing off the field. There's no way he's in game shape. So there's nothing you can do to simulate 260, 265 coming off the edge and leaning on you while you're backpedaling. There's nothing you can do to simulate that and get ready in a real game week. So those are the two things to watch out on the West Coast. We'll keep an eye on those as the weekend unfolds here. As the week unfolds. I'm still in Labor Day weekend, baby. I'm still on that golf course. I'm still at that pool, y'all. My bad. I still got that cold Coors Light in my hand, if you know what I mean.
You did both the golf course and the pool?
Oh, I did. I played 36 holes. Played a little nine holes in the evening two different days, and then got up one morning and went and played a little 18 in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah, man. Struck it well. Can't score worth a damn, but I strike it well. I'm telling you, man. I can tuck my shirt in, walk to the pro shop, and strike it well off the first tee box. I can fool your ass in a hurry now. Don't look at my scorecard when it's all said and done, though. Those are the two things to watch out on the West Coast. The one bit of news that we have here in Houston is big news, right? C.J. Gardner-Johnson, safety, nickel defender, hybrid safety, whatever the hell you want to call him. He was brought in here to take this defense to the next level, to be a weapon that D'Amico Ryans can deploy, if you will, whether it's from a game plan perspective or from an adjustment perspective. C.J. Gardner-Johnson had what was thought to be a killer injury, maybe even season-ending injury in training camp, and here we sit, and D'Amico Ryans is announcing this with C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Yeah, C.J. is doing really well, progressing fine. We expect him to be ready for week one.
We expect him to be ready for week one. Is it me, or did it sound like it was painful for D'Amico Ryans? It sounded like that really hurt him to put that out.
Yeah, that update.
He wanted to keep it to himself.
Oh, man, let me just let it out of the bag, man. I'm getting beat up for telling y'all that you're handling the Joe Mixon deal wrong. Let me just tell you about C.J. Gardner-Johnson real quick. Hey, here you go. Sorry about that, DJ Bienem. Sorry about that, bud. I got you. But C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Ron, on a serious note, him being available with this football team, this defense, again, I think they would have been fine. I think they would have survived and been a top defense, and they'd have been hell for Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford to deal with on Sunday. Any way you slice it. But this piece to the puzzle here on the defense, assuming he's full go, and D'Amico is telling the truth that he's ready to rock and roll and he's full go, he has got every piece that they signed in the offseason, whether they signed it or drafted it, he's got every piece available to run one of the most exotic, sophisticated, I mean, defenses that we've seen in a long time. I mean, he can do as much as anybody in the NFL schematically with this crew. When you got Kalen Bullock, I'm sorry, and you got C.J. Gardner-Johnson, you got Petrie, you got Lassiter, you got Stingley. I mean, you got speed, and Christian Harris is even healthy at this point with Aziz Alshaier and Henry Toa-Toa. I mean, you can move and shake from a personnel standpoint and just give the offenses completely different looks from one drive to the next, definitely from the first half to the second half, man. And the C.J. – and then on the flip side of that, Ron, the C.J. Gardner-Johnson aspect of just what I think is probably more talked about in terms of how he brings a certain level of intensity
Absolutely.
To the game, man. That's a big get back for the Texans.
Yeah, listen, as we said, C.J. Gardner-Johnson is not going to just – completely change the way you run your defense. Like, there are some other guys over there
yep.
that would change things. But, I mean, like, you know, you can survive with just running your stuff against the Jags, against the Titans, probably the Seahawks, you know, the Colts on your schedule, the Raiders maybe. But against some of these good teams that have really good quarterbacks, weapons, play callers, those are the teams you really want to be able to mix things up and do a bunch of different things and have all of your horses out there. And I would think the Rams would count as one of those teams. When you look at the weapons that they bring out there, the play caller, Sean McVay, and what – I mean, Sean McVay has had a long time, months, to prepare for you and what you're doing.
Yep.
And you need and I think D'Amico and Matt Burke need
yep.
all of their guys to be able to do what they want to do against a team like that.
Ron, D'Amico and the Texans, they've got all their pieces on the defensive side of the football to create chaos and havoc around the quarterback and for the quarterback and for the play caller. You got a left tackle that hadn't practiced in all of training camp, and you got a quarterback that's got back issues. If the defense for the Houston Texans take care of business this weekend, the pressure should be completely taken off of Nick Caley and C.J. Stroud. If they take care of business the way that we've watched them take care of business all of training camp, guys off the edges are unblockable. The defense is exotic and they're disguising coverages all over the damn field. They're causing problems for everybody. I mean, this should be a defensive dominated football game, right? And there's a chance that the Texans – could rough up a quarterback and a left tackle and make it a long Sunday afternoon for the Rams.
Mm. God, I can't wait to see
Come on.
This. Can't wait for this.
Come on, Tyler.
Back,
turn
baby.
You on, Tyler. Turn you on right
Back,
there, too.
Baby.
Well, on, my trick is I'm always ready. But yes, it does. It does a lot.
I just don't think you're always ready. Coming up, the lineups always. Are out. We'll let you know what the Astros.
There was a day.
We'll let you know what the Astros are going to do in this game. Somebody has already texted in pissed off at Joe about the lineup and a missing piece in it. We'll let you know the latest on that. And did the AP get it wrong? Got the wrong new number one team in the country. It is not Texas anymore. Did they get it wrong? We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, the lineups are out. There is no Yordan Alvarez. I want to go ahead and just break that off for you just Your right name. Now. There's no Yordan. I've had multiple people text in just, why the hell is Yordan not playing today? Why does he need off? According to Joe Espada, it is a scheduled day off for Yordan. Alvarez is available off the bench.
I'm trying to do the best I can.
That's all right, man. We know you are.
Got to ramp him back up, man. We can't kill him.
Got to ramp him up, man. Got to ramp him up slowly. Get him here.
Take it easy on them hands.
All right. I'd like to have seen him go against Max Fried, you know, the lefty. Maybe just get some good at-bats against some, you know, some really good lefties that you may run into in the postseason. But the lineup is out. Pena is leading off at shortstop. Correa is at third base. Altuve in left field. Clint, this is the first time that Jose Altuve has had a start in left field since July 28th. Okay, so he is in left field. Christian Walker at first base. Yainer Diaz is the DH. Urias is at second base tonight. Cam Smith in right field. Dubon is catching with Salazar. I'm sorry, Dubon's in center field with Salazar catching, trying to get Dubon.
Trying to get him in that spot too, huh?
See if we can get him in all nine positions played in his career. I got to believe catcher and pitcher is the only two.
You don't think he's been on that mound once or twice?
I don't remember. Maybe he has. I don't remember.
I don't think he's done it with an Astro as an Astro, but has he always been an Astro? No, he got him with somebody else.
Where did he come from? I don't recall it, but I know he's played the other seven.
I'd like to see Dubon's Lanera ass back there behind home plate.
Yeah, I know he's played the other seven. See if we can get him to catch and pitch. But that's the lineup: Peña, Correa, Altuve, Walker, Diaz, Urias, Smith, Dubon, and Salazar. With Framber Valdez, seeing if he can string together another good start. And obviously, this is against a quality opponent, not the Rockies. We'll see what he is able to do tonight.
You know, well, I read a little earlier. The Astros' record is significantly better with Altuve in left field than when he's in the other two spots, second right, or DHing.
That's it, then. Play him next.
Get him out there in left field, man. Just
left
stay.
Field him.
Look here. Y'all see old boy try to eat the scoreboard out there this weekend?
I certainly don't think he tried. I know. His teammates right there sitting there thinking, nobody thought about that with that metal joint right there.
I mean,
it's tough.
I mean, my man come off that wall, and I rewound it and showed my wife, and you know, like he got up on his knees and he knew.
I mean, it was the perfect.
He was waving everybody out there. He said, "Come on, man, I'm hurt. Hell with that play. Y'all get on out here. I'm busted wide open."
What did he get? 28 stitches, something like that. Something. It was the perfect. I mean, he hit it square.
When that old burly,
it's a corner. It's a metal corner.
When that old burly pitcher come out of that deal, he saw it from a distance. He came out of that deal with that towel wadded up. He knew what time it was.
Yeah.
How quick they gonna change that over, boys?
I don't know, man. Hell, they may just say. I mean, baseball is real cool with it. Like,
oh, you gotta change it. You gotta fix it.
I don't know, man.
I mean, he was busted.
How long did it take for him to get that heel out of there?
A while. How long did it take to get that?
They did have a flagpole in center field.
They took him a while. There were
many years.
I mean, there was complaints, right? And I mean, I wonder how many walls people got to run into in Wrigley, that brick wall that's covered with ivy, that before they think about anything with that.
It's hard for me to get real passionate about it. Like you said, I immediately they were talking when the old buddy for the Angels was talking about it. I was like, there is a brick wall in the league out there.
Oh, they're probably gonna say, that's only happened once. And how long's Enron / Minute Maid / the Daikin, how long has it been open? 20 plus years, right? Only one time somebody has run into that metal that metal fence that has a corner in it. Only one time.
Yeah, it opened with the new millennium in the year 2000.
Yeah. By the way, Isak Paredes and Josh Hader are getting their follow-up imaging done today for their injuries, according to Joe Espada. So, see what that means. All right, Yankees here tonight. She'll be. I know you're going to one of these games, aren't you, Tyler?
I might try to slide into the old Daikin. Yeah,
I got to give it another shot, man, Tyler. I got to give it another shot.
Well, that was. Yeah, I don't know why you would quit. I don't even understand why you wouldn't give it another shot.
Well,
you've gone there and had a fantastic time every time, except for when you got those seats.
I got a message for those Yankee turds.
I made a pissy poor decision, and Dubin didn't help me none. To be honest with you. I made a piss poor decision.
He's gone.
I spent more money, bought what I thought was better tickets. They were not better tickets. My legs were throbbing the whole time. I could have been standing up out there in that plaza around one of them bar top tables and just ordering some cold beer right there.
Is that what Linda would have wanted?
I could say, what? Bar top table and cold beer? Absolutely.
She'd have done that?
Oh.
I thought she wanted to get it.
Luckily, she doesn't know about it or she'd be trying to go all the time.
Really?
I'd be forking that bill over.
Seemed like she enjoyed this. So, by the way, top 25 is out. Clint, and Ohio State, not a real surprise. They jump up to number one in the polls, Clint. Texas drops from 1-7 with their loss. They are getting crushed, really arch, getting crushed for that. But it was just 14-7 on the road. They lost by seven with a chance to really what they had. They got stopped on the goal line. They got stopped inside the 10 multiple times where they didn't come away with any points. So, it wasn't like they got housed, right? This wasn't Florida State, Alabama. Alabama dropped from 8-21 in the poll. And then Florida State moves up to 14 in it. Miami goes up into the top five. LSU gets up into the top three. They get to three, move up six spots there.
So, yeah, I'm with you, Ron. I think once again the Arch Manning thing is being weighted too heavily, right? It was weighted too heavily in the positive direction early on. Now it's in the negative direction. I mean, you went on the road in the shoe against what they believe is the new number one team in the country.
Although I think LSU should be, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's a fair argument, fair conversation. But you went up there with a first-time quarterback, and you played them to a 14-7 game. You turned the ball over on downs twice inside the five. I'm not minimizing how ugly that game was, but if you can go down there and your quarterback play that poorly, your offense appear to be out of sync the way that one was, and your defense is good enough to play to a 14-7, then you're probably a better overall football team than to fall seven spots in the rankings. So I think this is – they're swinging from the hype was out of control early on in a positive way to me after one ball game, a 14-7 ball game at number one in the country. To fall seven spots seems like seems a little bit aggressive to me.
Yeah. Text line coming through. ESPN was pushing for LSU to be number one after beating overrated as Clemson. I don't think Clemson's overrated, and I think going on the road at night at Clemson, and I think Clemson's going to be a really good team. Yeah. I would still, even with what Miami and Florida State did, I still probably think most people put them in the driver's seat to win the conference. They're a good football team, and LSU's a good football team. Hey, I remember a couple of years ago, we thought that Perkins cat was maybe the best player in college football. He got hurt. He closed on Cade, boy. I didn't know he
came. Hey, he was shot out of a cannon, wasn't he?
He closed on him. I mean, he took every angle. Of Cade was like, "What the hell?"
Oh,
and
man!
And that was over.
They're good, man.
Yeah,
LSU's good
because their defense hasn't been worth the damn. And you know, you could tell their offense will, you know, get the kinks out. Like there was, like that one play. I still wonder, was that a touchdown down? You know, where they called it and said he didn't complete the catch. Where it could have been worse.
Yeah. Nussmeier, you know, in terms of like top quarterbacks in the country, I like Thomas Castellanos. I've already said that, a kid out of Florida State. But when you're talking about like top quarterbacks in the country, I think Nussmeier won week one. I mean, it wasn't pretty by any stretch of the imagination, but watching him play, I mean, there is a game changing quarterback in there, even when things are moving fast, even when, you know, he's not seeing things clearly and the game plan's not perfect. And then on the flip side of that, Ron, you mentioned one play that got overturned. The jump ball versus one of the top corners in the league to a damn tight end. I mean, let him hang, and the kid goes up and makes a play. I mean, they once again.
Man, that dude's a weapon. Yeah, 14.
Yeah,
nice.
And I don't know how old he is. I didn't do the digging, but he looks like he's just jumping on the scene.
Yeah.
They've got dudes offensively that I think that we don't even know of yet, once again. So, yeah, man, Nussmeier for me from a quarterback perspective. There were some guys that had good. Beck had a good at least finish in Miami. Yeah. But yeah, he won it for me, man. Nussmeier's the winner of week one.
Yeah, Miami defense looked good, but they went up against CJ Carr, a young quarterback making his first start. And then obviously Ohio State went up against a young Arch Manning making kind of getting the reins for the first time. But LSU went against a veteran quarterback that might be a top 10 pick coming into the game, and they shut him down. Coming up, D'Amico Ryans, he's made it very clear already, saying this is what's keeping him up. This is what the game is going to be about on Sunday. We'll let you hear what he has to say and what that is coming up.
Take the drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, baby, it is game week. The NFL is back, baby.
Yes!
They get started on Thursday, Cowboys-Eagles, Friday, Chiefs-Chargers, and then the full slate Sunday, Texans-Rams. in the 3 o'clock window, we will be able to finally see what these guys look like in a regular season game. And we know D'Amico has been, and his coaching staff, they have been getting ready for this game. They have been preparing for this game. And this is him already. Yesterday, speaking to the media, this is what he is saying the game is about and what will eventually show us to be the winner in this game.
This game, I think, ultimately, it is right now, as I continue to go through it in my mind, I think it really hinges upon both offensive lines blocking two really talented defensive lines. The Rams have one of the best young defensive lines in the NFL, Verse, Fisk, I mean, Turner, Young. It was a young group, and those guys play, they get after it. They play relentless. They're tough. They're going to be a really, really good group to challenge our offensive line, and the same for their offensive line versus our defensive line. We have a really good group up front under the strengths of our team, and we have to, you know, it's going to be a challenge to see how that shapes up, but both offensive lines are going to have to play well, and whoever wins that battle, I think, will ultimately decide the game.
All right, there it is, Clint. He says that's what he's been thinking about as it goes over in his, as he goes over this game in his mind. I just don't know anyone out there who could look at this differently, especially from the Texans' perspective, Clint, because let's just be honest. We don't really, now some of you may believe that you believe you know, but honestly, we don't really know what we're going to get up front from the Texans' offensive line. It's the biggest question coming into the year, and I think it still remains the biggest question. As we've got through training camp, they have what appears to us shifted in what the original plan was. And now it is a different plan with Titus on the outside and Ursary winning the job at left tackle. That is still the biggest thing, Clint, is we just don't have a real good idea. We got a hell of an idea of what the hell's going to happen on the other side of the ball. We don't have a real good idea of what this offensive line is going to look like against an opponent that's game planning for him and in a regular season type of a ball.
No clue what the offensive line is going to look like. No clue what Nick Caley's going to be able to do or not do. No clue what the C.J. Stroud having more command at the line of scrimmage of this offense. No idea what any of that looks like. I can give you a feel. I feel really good about C.J. Stroud. I'm not real sure about Nick Caley. I got my doubts, but I've seen some positive. I want to see more. The offensive line, I'll be honest, I'm not real confident in. So I mean, I think we got different levels of confidence here. But you know, that's the 2025 Texans until rubber meets the road and we see what they're made out of. I mean, to me, this is a really, really good test. D'Amico Ryan's talking about, you know, what this game is going to come down to, and I think he's ultimately spot on, right? I mean, there's two talented defensive lines in this game. Now, as he mentioned, he goes directly to, well, how well is the offensive line for the Texans going to play? Are they going to be able to protect C.J. Stroud? Are they going to allow Nick Caley to go out there and call a game and get a feel for what they can and can't do? Are they going to allow that to happen? Are they going to allow the Texans to be able to run the football? We'll see, right? But it goes beyond just the O-line. To me, I can't say the O-line without also saying Nick Caley, who I've mentioned multiple times in this spiel here. But there's, to me, it's this offensive line and our offensive coordinator against a really good, solid defensive front versus one of the best offensive minds in the game in Sean McVay, a veteran offensive line, although it's been banged up, a veteran offensive line in L.A., and an absolute dominant defensive front in Houston. Who can handle that better, right? But it's O-line and O.C., not just the O-line for me. And D'Amico's right. It's about the trenches.
Because that's kind of the feel of it is, when you go to the other side, you feel pretty good about Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, Barnett, Otakasi, Setley. You feel like you got a good feeling of what they're going to be able to do.
Yeah.
And if absolutely. The Rams got to throw the football, especially if the Texans know they got to throw the football, you got a real understanding. Because I don't have a real understanding of what they're going to be, Clint. But if I'm going to be honest, just based off what we know and what we've seen, I would lean towards that this offensive line is probably going to be helped big time early if they dictate what they're able to do and Nick dictates what he's able to run. Like, let's be honest, the Lions and the Eagles are able to dictate a lot of what they want to do. But if they weren't, if they had to throw, if the game dictated they had to throw the ball, I think they feel pretty good about being able to protect their passers.
Sure.
I don't know that I think it's ever going to be a good recipe for this Texans offensive line that, all right, Rams know they got to throw it. And they're going to be able to hold up consistently. I think they are going to have to be able to be the ones more consistently to dictate what it is that they're calling and what they're running. And they got to be able to run the football. And they got to be able to have it to where they can do their short, quick game and all of that stuff and not be dictated the other
way. Well, look, I hope it never happens. But the reality of it is it's going to happen this season with the Texans. And I think the real test is going to come when you get down 14. It's in the second half. Yeah. You hadn't ran it well. You know, the defense has played a good game, but they gave up a couple touchdowns. Offensively, you haven't been able to run the football. And, all right, now you got to put it in your soon-to-be $60-plus million-a-year quarterback's hands. And, you know, one of your best players on the team, Nico Collins, has got to go make some plays. What is the offensive line going to look like when that's the case? What is Nick Caley going to look like when that's the case? If they can chew up, hell, I don't even care if it's 2 or 3 yards. If they can chew up 2 or 3 yards in a run game with Nick Chubb and stay in third and four,
yeah,
you know, stay in third and five, I think they'll be fine. But when they get in a point in a situation third and long, if we're talking one play at a time, or you get down in a game in the second half and you got to throw the football, that's when the real test for this offensive line is going to come. I think they're geared more towards being able to run the football and stay ahead of the chains. We'll see if that's real. It's the talk, right? It's been the talk all year long. We'll see if it's real.
It's the talk, and to be honest with you, that first drive, I know it was Davis Mills, but that first drive with the ones against the Vikings, they were able to be in control of what it is that they wanted to do because they could dictate it. They ran the football well. The play action worked. Like they were the one dictating to the Vikings, and really even early against the Panthers, like they were doing it as well, and were able to run it when they wanted to pass because they had success. There wasn't, you know, a bunch of third and 11s, third and 9s. That was good to see. But can they sustain that over? Yeah. You know, the full game.
I fully expect a run heavy, protect the football, play great defense approach to every game until the game dictates you do something else. Yep. And when the game, as long as they can stay right there, which they're good enough defensively to do that. If they can stay right there, they can win a lot of football games and really let other teams beat themselves. But there's going to be 4, 5, 6 games where, hey man, things are getting a little out of hand here, and we got to lean into that franchise quarterback and see if the offensive line can protect him. And that's when we're going to find out what this team's made out of relative to making a run in the playoffs. Because against Baltimore, you're going to throw it. Against Kansas City, they're going to force you to throw it. You know what I mean? Against Buffalo, they're probably going to force you to throw it. The better defenses in this league are going to make you win left-handed, which means the Texans are going to have to drop back more than they're comfortable with. Can the O-line hold up in those situations?
Yeah, I don't think the Rams have a good offense. I don't think that we're going to be looking at no 21-7 type of game, you know, in the first half. I don't think the Texas defense will allow them to do that. But still, even if the Texans defense is playing well and keeping them down, like, it's a bad recipe to me. Third and eights, you know, third and sevens. You wonder how much they're going to be able to convert. I think they're going to have to run the football and do well early in downs. To keep, as you said, the third and fours, third and threes, third and twos, to do those things. All right, a little 5 o'clock fire coming up. We'll get you ready for the Astros and the Yankees. The Yankees come to town as they try to expand on their AL West lead. We'll get you all caught up with the lineups and everything you need to know from the Astros. And some news with Davis Mills, and you'll get to hear D'Amico Ryans talk about a very important player. All of that as we continue coming up next.